So I've received a question from a Boag World reader, listener, follower, whatever, which reads, with the web moving so fast, how do you keep up to date with the latest innovations? Of course, you're making the huge presumption I manage that, but let's see if I can't give you an answer anyway. Web professionals are knowledge workers. In other words, we are hired for what we know and our ability to creatively implement that knowledge. Yes, we have practical skills, but those are secondary to our understanding of how to effectively harness the power of the web. And in a world of rapid innovation where knowledge is our primary commodity, the need to keep up to date is essential. Without it, our employability declines rapidly. But how do we ensure that we're at the cutting edge of web innovation? Our clients and bosses may be willing to pay for our knowledge, but they won't pay us to cultivate that knowledge, which is extremely frustrating. How then can we find the time when we're not paid to do so? I believe it comes down to two factors, the right process and the right tools. What follows is my process for keeping up to date and the tools I use to achieve that. Now, unsurprisingly, if you know me, my approach is based on getting things done and consists of three steps: gather, process, and act. So let's look at each term. As web professionals, there's a mind-boggling amount of material we can learn from. Conference talks, articles, blog posts, tutorials, research papers, you get the idea. The challenge is finding quality information and content that meets our particular interests. Now, I achieve this using three approaches. First of all, I still use RSS, despite it being somewhat out of favour. I still make heavy use of it, in fact. Since Google Reader closed down, I now use Feedly to read my RSS feeds. Now, there was a time when I read RSS feeds religiously, marking them as read in much the same way as I do with email, until I'd read every single item. These days, I take a bit more of a relaxed approach. Instead of reading every item, I kind of dip in and out of my RSS feed, seeing if there's anything of interest to me. If I see something that looks vaguely interesting, I mark it for processing later, something we'll cover in a minute. I tend to do this in the evenings on my iPad. It's a fairly mindless job as I'm not attempting to read anything, just mark things that look interesting. The iPad is perfect for this kind of activity, and I'd actually argue that every web professional should have a tablet like this as part of their job. I think it's an important tool for us to have. I can't recommend what RSS feeds you subscribe to because that'll be very dependent on your areas of interest. However, I would advise you to review your list regularly and remove feeds that are rarely ever saved for later consumption. Personally, I avoid feeds that have got a large amount of content, you know, are pushing out stuff on a regular basis because they tend to swamp feeds that are published less often, and it's easy to miss the less often stuff because of the ones that churn out content all the time. Also, to be honest, sites that churn out a huge amount of content tend to be of lower quality. So that's RSS. But that's not it. After all, RSS can only take you so far, and it only gives you a fairly narrow view because you're only seeing the sources that you've particularly chosen to look at. I therefore supplement RSS with a personalized magazine app on my iPad. Probably the best known of these is Flipboard. You tell Flipboard the subjects you're interested in, and it finds the appropriate articles. Although Flipboard is nice and a really good visual experience, personally, I prefer Zite. Zite has the advantage that you can vote up and down stories. If you like something, you tell Zite and it will show you more of stuff like that. If you don't like it, then you tell Zite and it will avoid showing you similar stories in future. Alongside RSS and personalized magazine, I also use Twitter. And I think this is almost possibly the most valuable of the tools I use. I follow all the key figures in the web community and they share some amazing content. Now, admittedly, you have to pick through the numerous pictures of their cats, but it's worth it for the articles they share. In effect, these are the people are becoming your personal editor that are picking the best and brightest of the content out there and sharing it with you. Fortunately, Apple has made this all the easier recently with their new shared links panel in Safari on both iOS 7 and Maverick, so you might want to check that out. As you look through Twitter, RSS and Zeit, you will come across content that looks interesting. However, if you stop to read every interesting post, it's going to take you forever and you're never going to get through stuff. Instead, you need a way of storing that content and returning to it later. Personally, I use Pocket for this job because it allows me to collect video as well as textual content. Unfortunately, it doesn't allow me to do the same with audio, which is frustrating, but I use HuffDuffer for that instead. Pocket has great mobile and desktop apps, while HuffDuffer allows you to create your own podcast feed of audio files that can be synced to any podcatcher of your choice. This means you can easily read or listen to content wherever you are. I can often be found consuming the odd article on my iPhone in an unused spare moment throughout my day, you know, waiting for a bus or, in my case, waiting for my son. Of course, it is no good filling Pocket or HuffDuffer with content that you never actually get around to reading. Although using spare moments to read stuff is great, it's not going to be enough. I also recommend setting aside half an hour each day just to sit and read. It's well worth the time. Another advantage of not reading content immediately, but instead adding it to Pocket, is that you don't waste time reading content that isn't that great. It's easy to get caught up in the moment of going, oh, that looks good, I'll read that later. Oh, that looks good, I'll read that later. And you can end up wasting hours reading stuff. So instead, by adding it to my Pocket list, and when I come to read my Pocket list, I only pick the most interesting articles to read that are in the list. If something stays on the list too long, then it can't be that useful and I delete it. You end up reading the best stuff rather than merely the latest that happens to pop up in your RSS reader. Reading, watching, and listening to great web content is not enough, however. Remember that your objective is not just to read stuff, but to learn and implement what you read. It's therefore important that you do something constructive with what you've read. And this is where the action part comes in. I typically act on what I read in one of three ways. First, some articles contain useful snippets of information that are good reference material. For example, it might include a useful stat or a good quotation that's worth keeping. I often find myself using these snippets in presentations or mentioning them when talking to clients. Instead of keeping the whole article, I clip the best bits to Evernote with a reference back to the source. This means I can quickly find the best bits from an article without wading through the whole thing for the relevant part. So I keep a lot of stuff for reference. But I also share stuff. If a post is particularly good, I'll share it via Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn or Google. People love it when you share quality content with them as you become their personal editor. I found it's a great way of increasing your following. But more importantly, I regularly share content with my colleagues and with clients. A good article can often perfectly articulate something you've been trying to communicate or spark a much-needed discussion in a particular area. But most importantly of all, I sometimes choose to create an action for my task list based on something that I've read in an article. If a post mentions a cool new tool, I take an action to investigate it. If it talks about a new technique that I want to try out, I take an action to experiment later. It's so, so important that you capture these actions somewhere that you'll see them. Otherwise, all of your reading is for nothing. That's the trouble with the web. There's so much good content online, and many people become addicted to the act of reading. After all, you feel like you're learning something new. However, just reading is not enough. You need a process to ensure that what you've read actually has an impact on how you work. Of course, what I've shared is only my approach to doing these things, and there's no one right way. So what I'm interested in is how you ensure you keep up to date with latest web practices, and more importantly, how you ensure that those lessons get integrated into your work. Post in the comments below.